Hello and hello. How are you guys doing? Welcome to the stream. Hello, Josh, and hello, Sue. Glad you guys are starting to join. That's awesome. So we are here with Walt Johnson, and while we're just getting ourselves a little bit set up, I'm going to play you a song that's pretty on theme for today. So I think I know how to make this work now.
All right. Where are the controls for this thing? There they are. All right, so my habit for our shows is just sit on mute until I need to talk. It's just to keep
background. Angels pass.
Okay, so can you tell me if you can hear the song? It's funny, I'm not hearing it. You can? Wow. Okay.
Past the point of beauty, truth. None lost or found. Where there's beauty, find me. Where there's beauty, walk with me. Where there's beauty, take me. 'Cause I cannot get on my own. Acid rain on my guitar. I'm glad it's all coming down to this story in this town, in my sky high tree house. Where there's beauty, find me. Where there's beauty, walk with me. There's no sense hovering in suspense in the future or the past tense. It will all go tumbling over like rocks in a riverbed dance.
Alrighty. Welcome, Walt. So great to have you here.
Hello, Beth.
Hello.
I'm glad to be here.
Oh, I saw this happening in my head a long time ago.
Thought we had had you on the afternoon show on Iron Realm Media's channel all this time, and it had only been Ironwork. So I think we all hang out so much behind the scenes, we get lost on what shows and where we've been live. So
honestly,
it's understandable.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing to watch this community interweave. And, you know, it's reflecting, and it's a bad way to reflect before we dive in and even introduce. But there was a time where I was very involved in our local spiritual community, yoga community stuff, or I should say I was trying to be involved. I was trying to be related. There was all these people, and they were all interested in similar things. And I thought it was so natural that we would all just commune and connect and work together and support each other. Well, nope. Not a bunch of spiritual yoga people. Nope. Sorry. Even if they're listening or one of them's listening now, it was impossible. I couldn't get a spirit of cooperation to happen. They would look at me like I was a threat. I'm going to take away their yoga students and then they'll be poor, whatever. Right. So this is a beautiful example of exactly the opposite, that there's just so much mutual admiration and cooperation and, you know, people just jumping up and down to serve and help others. Hello to Eric. Nice to have you here. Hello to Nachiketa said he's going to be here just for a little while. And Dixie's here. So great. I'm glad you guys could join. Thanks for jumping in. So I'm pretty excited to host you, Walt, and I do consider you to be a king hero in your world. The king heroes, for those of you who don't know, are those that are willing to get out in front, to say the difficult things, to take responsibility more than the average person. And, you know, sometimes that means taking hits and feedback you don't want, and also contending with people's projections of praise and all of the things that can be equally as heavy. And, you know, we need more than ever to hold the strong men up and to, you know, I've made more than a few of them cry on these episodes. No pressure. But it's an honor to have you here. If you don't know my work, if you're tuning in for the first time, my name is Beth Martins. I am an archetype, purpose, and business coach for those that can't keep their mouth shut, that they have something in them and it needs to come out. They know somebody needs to hear it. I believe we are all blessed with a sacred purpose that comes through us. And if we don't live it, it goes unlived, and we will feel that torture at the level of the soul. I don't mean to be so dramatic about it, but when these things, right, they just push up and out of you and they won't stand for anything less. So, Walt, thank you so much. Can you take a few minutes to introduce yourself and let everybody know who you are?
Thank you, Beth. Thank you so much. And first off, I'm so glad to be here. I have seen the caliber of folks you've had here, some amazing emotional people. So definitely don't worry, no pressure. I'm sure the tears will flow at some point. They generally do with me. So, but I've been through a lot here lately too, that's got, you know, some raw emotions with it. So, but I'm Walt Johnson. My handle on YouTube is Flat Earth Head. You probably know that. Over there on Twitter, I am FaceBones777. Long story. We'll get to that if you want to. That's where you and I got to first hanging out, I think, in James True's kind of circle. Love James True. Hey, totally.
Yeah. No, he started having you. Exactly. He started having you on his channel. Mm-hmm.
But definitely far from feeling like a king of late in this world, it seems like we all are finding out just how far from kings we really are right now. And definitely as far as in the scheme of the power structures, I think we've got some secrets, though, that we're going to show them before all this is over with. It's so hard to talk about the world right now and not feel like you're feeding energy into some of the negativity and some of the crap that they're heaping on us. And yet there's also that feeling, if you don't address it, kind of sticking your head in the sand. But further on, let me conclude the introduction. I'm also a member of a team called Iron Realm Media, a group of amazing humans who are doing some amazing work. I've been lucky enough to gather some amazing people around me who are not just doing the work, but showing how it can be done in a loving manner, in a cooperative manner, in a way that doesn't necessarily have to be combative or as you said there in your introduction, the community that we all are part of, or the different communities we're all part of, with what we all stand for, you would think we could all just get along. And yet that seems that the human side of us just won't let that happen half the time. But it's frustrating when we know what we should be doing and what we could be doing. We see the beauty of what can be created when we finally do let all that crap go and focus on the real heart of all this. So, but definitely shout out to the Iron Rim team. I saw some of you here in chat. I'm struggling, I'll be honest with you here, because normally I have a floating control somewhere that I can go to and mute and unmute. And to keep up with chat, I have to keep going back and forth on the browser. So if I'm not talking to you guys in chat, I do see you and I love you guys. Thank you for being there.
And I've got my eye on it so that if something comes up, then I can bring your attention to it. And Nachiketa got the lover. Perfect. Perfect timing. This is the lover week.
We're on the lover
week. Yeah.
Nice. And he's going to be on Iron Realm's show, The Ironworks, Friday morning.
Fantastic.
Coming up this Friday.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
Which for here central, it's 4 a.m. On the East Coast, it'll be 5 a.m. And over on the left coast, it will be 2 a.m. The rest of it, I think, is 10 a.m. in the GMT world. So definitely check that out. We had a great conversation with him over there on the Have No Sphere show, but definitely just the tip of the iceberg. There's so many layers to, and I always butcher Nachiketa. I always say Keta, and I know it's Keta. I'll get it right
Keta.
Before the show.
Okay. Okay,
I say it wrong. I say it wrong too, but I may be butchering it again. My apologies. But yeah, can't wait to hear him hang out with us Friday morning.
Right on. Right on. That's amazing. So good. Steve said, by the way, that tears equals super chats. So we're counting on you all.
You pay for the tears. All right.
That'll work. Yeah. Super fun. I actually, just so for those of you who've been coaching me through this, I have applied for the super chats and whatever. I don't know if I've been disqualified out of the gate, if they just right off aren't loving me, but I don't mind.
My best not to show, hit any trigger words. I noticed a lot of people have started spelling out some of the trigger words.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
I'll try.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not that worried, and I wouldn't even be hugely attached to the super chats, but it's fun. I like that. There's nothing wrong with that either. So
we kind of gave up at Iron Realm. We fought it. We had it for a little while, fought it every time we'd get the copyright strikes, which were, in the vein of everything that everybody else does and gets away with on their channels, some of the commentary videos or the reactionary videos, and you see their money just flowing in with their commercials and whatever. We don't want to start getting into the whole shebang of YouTube. We all know we're dealing with it. So, but yeah. I hope it works out for you. Good luck with it. And anything we can do to not trigger it for you, I'll do my best today.
Sounds good. I'm grateful to this beast. We are on the beast's platform, and I'm grateful for them providing, because I could have never invented this situation whatsoever. So we're all blessed in that way by it. It was interesting. Just a total aside before I ask you what inspired you to do this in the first place was that the song that I played you, I found my own music. YouTube had made a channel out of my music. And now they advertise on it.
Wow.
So they're making ad revenue on manufacturing a channel without any of my, I didn't even know it was there, and it's not like hugely found either, but yeah, because I was going to put my own music up, and then I'm like, oh my God, YouTube already did it.
Well, first, I didn't realize that was your music. I'm stunned. Amazing. And
Thank you.
Typical of YouTube to figure out a way. I think that tends to be the thing, though. We started messing around with a little bit of merchandising, just trying to get some shirts out there that, people might like, and found out that just about all those sites that'll do it for you, once you do a design there, it's their design. They can do with what they want, that kind of thing. So be careful. Read all the fine print for sure.
Yeah, that Leviathan, it just consumes, eats everything in its path. But there you go. So tell us, what inspired you in the first place to get out and have a voice like you do, to start a channel, to take all the flack that comes?
I suppose just the family I was raised in that I showed up here on the plane in. My grandfather was a preacher. I never leaned to be in the pulpit up there, but I definitely never was shy to voice my opinion about things. Generally speaking, never really took it to a public place, I guess, until my significant other's sister and her husband were doing a public access channel show here in Louisiana, I guess in the mid-90s. And I had already been into a community of the UFO community. I grew up in the late 60s, early 70s, seeing the whole, you know, there was the Barney Betty Hill case. There were the Close Encounter movie. I mean, as prevalent as it is in society now, it was really being pushed in the media a lot in the 70s. There were a lot of shows that were, you know, featuring the alien mythology. A lot of, like, I think Soap had a main character that had been abducted. And so it was really out there, the whole UFO thing. And I had just had a lot of experiences. Family had a lot of experience, you know, real experiences, not just seeing lights in the sky. And so from that got me into reading a lot of books, meeting a lot of the people at conventions, getting to be friends with a lot of the authors, and finding out some stuff, you know, kind of behind the scenes, getting to know some of the authors up close. I had gotten to know Lloyd Pye, who was the guy connected to the Starchild skull. And he was there in Louisiana, in Lafayette, where we are, doing the show at that time. So we got him on the show. It was just an exciting time to be getting a lot of information out there. There were shows like Sightings, and there was another one. What was it? Encounters, maybe. So there was a lot of stuff happening, and it felt like we were kind of part of it here locally. So that was my first, like, doing it publicly. But I had always been on the fringe, if you will, talking mm-hmm. with friends, with family. I can remember stories of, you know, my grandmother always would be visited by the family member who had passed in the night before we'd get the phone call the next morning to tell us that the family member had passed that night, that kind of thing. And lots of interesting stories about where the church was built. Actually, the parsonage was built, and they lived in the parsonage before the church there in White Oak was built. And there were a lot of strange occurrences that they saw and heard, lots of weird sound, like as they were getting the grounds ready for it. And I mean, you know, we've historically known that churches were built through the ages on the same places. So points of energy, ley line connections, crossovers, whatever you want to call it, vortices, portals, different places have the energy, and they definitely are thinner places, if you will. The veil seems to be a little thinner in those places. So my mom grew up with a lot of unusual occurrences. So being in the family I was in, it was almost impossible for me not to be interested in other and be part of trying to find out just what the heck's going on behind the curtain. So that's kind of where it started there in Lafayette, doing the show for about, I guess we did it for about, or I was part of it for about 2 years, something like that. We had some really amazing guests, found out a lot of stuff about not just, you know, UFOs and stuff, but a lot of just any kind of alternative information, health, a lot of health information. Doing that show is when I found out don't eat margarine. It's basically one molecule away from plastic. Stay away from just a lot of the things that we take for granted as out there as information now, because we're all on the internet. But back then, you know, a lot of people didn't know about how bad microwaved food really was, what it did to mother's milk when they defrosted it in eternity wars and things like that. So just having a show that we could put that kind of information out there was really the start, if you will, of all this. But you get so far, I guess, even as we see here with our community, there's only so far you can go with conventions and talking. And, you know, there's a time when things actually have to be action oriented. And so it just seemed that the UFO community kind of was getting stagnant, and I was seeing a lot of fear driven things coming out of the books and in the community, and just kind of got out of it and kind of got out of the people and being in that whole speaking about things. But again, always at work and with friends talking about whatever's going on. So yeah, it's just my thing. It's what I'm here to do. I can't not do it.
Right on. That's awesome. So good. Was there a time when you were struggling on the precipice of, like, you knew you had something in you to offer? I love that was it your dad or your grandfather was the preacher?
My grandfather was a preacher.
Your grandfather. Yeah. That's really, I totally see that in you.
Just in White Oak, Mississippi, but all over the central Mississippi area.
Nice. And, nice. Was there a time that you wrestled with it, that you had something in you that needed to come out, and there was this, like, do it, no, don't do it, going on?
The latest venture that we're doing here, the realm, if you will, finding out that there might be a whole lot more going on to the shape of the world or where we are on it, or, you know, the lies that we've been fed about space, all of that. I was a big NASA fan, grew up with every launch, every mission. I was there. I was going to be part of it, took the classes. Excuse me. So it was, finding out, okay, so maybe there's not a spinning space pair, and maybe there's a whole lot more that we haven't been told. And so at that point, it was truly a fire. I mean, I've had that, you know, I got to talk about it with a friend or a coworker, or, you know, just get excited about something. But this was truly a burning in me that I had to talk about it. There was, it's almost that cliche of the evangelist that can't shut up knocking on your door. But it really felt that. I mean, I'm calling cousins and calling my friends I haven't talked to in 15 years and going, hey, look, let me talk to you about something. That's really how it was. Wow. And I know we all talk about that honeymoon period of discovery of flat Earth, where you don't sleep and you're just doing the videos back to back and any book you can get your hand on. And it's truly, it's like they had it ready for us, interestingly enough, to just really be the one that grasped you fully, slapped you away, you know, shook you and got you ready for whatever we're in now, because it looks like that might have been part of it. Get all of this knowledge out there, the apocalypse, if you will, mm-hmm. Get it here, get it ready. I mean, they've been pushing this script for how long now? And it seems like they are turning to the last page pretty damn quick here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Wow. That's beautiful. So are there ways that you handle the stress of it going through? Or first of all, do you find it stressful? Do you feel like it's a weight on you?
There were times when it would interfere with things in life, especially at work. You know, you have confidants, friends you make at work that you feel like you can talk to about certain things that you wouldn't necessarily talk about with other people at work and that kind of thing. And then suddenly you're the UFO guy, or you're the ghost guy, or whatever story that got overheard in the break room or whatever. And that kind of crap, you know, and that's how we all do. I mean, you know, human nature is always point out the other and make them even more other by ostracizing them. So, yeah, subtly, I guess, over the years, but you grow thick skin over time. And even with knowing that this new information we might be breaking through with, this flat information, is so divisive. I mean, we've all heard the stories. We've all had the personal experiences, losing friends, losing wives and husbands, losing family, truly, mm-hmm. over this information, mm-hmm. simple questions.
I know.
That part has definitely caused some stress, not having a friend that I used to really explore a lot of this with. And I haven't talked to him since the blow up of, oh, you know, this is nuts and I don't want to talk about it anymore. So
wow.
It definitely is. that side of it is frustrating. Mm-hmm. And the family that, you know, unfortunately, I don't even know how to explain it, I guess. It was part of what I've been dealing with over the last 3 months there in Oregon, trying to understand how I kept digging into other and I kept looking at other and trying to find out what's going on. And my siblings, my sister tended to either completely bury her head in the sand or just ignore it, try to pretend like it was going to go away, or just buy the MSM line, hook, line, and sinker. Or, like my brother, kind of ride the fence of, you know, let me look at this. Let me see what you're looking at. And really look at it, it would seem, and then fall back to the standard, you know, but NASA or but whatever, cliche. Mm-hmm. And it was really frustrating that I hit Oregon about the time that the craziness of the current madness we're all living under started off. They met me at the door with, you know, come in here and wash up and blah, blah, blah. And I got it. My mom was sick. That's why I was there. But they just really ran with it. And it really got insane. And it seemed like everything I would show them or suggest to them, information, all the amazing people that we've talked about or had on the show or you've had on your show, Dr. Kaufman, I mean, any real information that you could show somebody. And it's like, this isn't, you know, me. This isn't coming out of my, I'm trying to figure this out. This is someone who's got the numbers. I mean, got the letters behind their name that you're all excited about. And yet you can't look at that either because it's just crazy wild stuff. I can, you know, put that in a box and not have to worry about it. So that really that's frustrating at times when mm-hmm. it seems like they won't look at something because that's the crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. And the stress mm-hmm. of that does get old at times.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Cause it's, I finally came to the conclusion that watching the vehement attacks on information, again, it's not, you're not going like, you guys are assholes, you're stupid. You know, so I want to say sometimes.
I'm not out in the street burning stuff up. I'm not out. Right. I'm just talking.
You never burned down a Wendy's? Oh my God. Right. Like, and we're the enemy, but it's, what is it a sign of is that people are under such enormous attack from, you know, ultimately the parents or the state or what, you know, this entity that hangs over us, they're under incredible attack, but they don't mentally register it, the you know, like where it's really coming from. And it turns anybody who's making them uncomfortable into a demon. And that's a topic tomorrow, by the way, for anybody that wants to talk demons. We're having Jerry Marzinski on tomorrow. But you become the demon because it would be way too painful to point to the real source of it. That would mean their whole reality would have to unravel. All of their things that they trust and rely upon to feel like, you know, my parents have passed away. So then I know, you know, my poor sisters, if they ever listen to my streams, I don't know. But, you know, I know they think, okay, well, our parents are dead, but we still have the government to look after us. That's how we feel in Canada. We really feel like, oh, you know, if I just couldn't make money, then the government would give me money. It's true. Unfortunately, it is true.
Well, they've set it up that way. I mean, that's right. How they've made it work out. You know, we all kind of, or not all of us, but a lot of people would look to Canada from here down in the States and go like, oh man, free medicine. Let's go. Let's make that happen.
Sounds great.
And it sounds great. But then you realize, as you say, suddenly nanny government is all there is. And who do you rely on? And suddenly you're just back into that childlike state. Mm-hmm, I mean, that's mm-hmm. part of the frustration of it that we all have let that happen. I mean, I'm as guilty of it as everybody else. You know, I'm unfortunately disabled due to a wreck. And my Meniere's disease and things. So I'm disabled and I'm relying on the governments and I can't really, you know, point a finger to anybody else when I'm doing the same thing, you know, and I do everything I can to supplement or do different things to feel like I am contributing. But then that's back to that whole thing of, are we really here to contribute to each other's crap or are we really here to do our thing? And that whole weight of, you know, what are we really here to freaking do? You know, if we're really all one thing and if we're this splintered one consciousness, then if I'm working on me, aren't I working on all of us? And then you get into that whole thing. So,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, it's really interesting. I love this because in the journey in my books, the eight archetypes, that the halfway point, it goes from the nurturer. I don't think I've got you to do my, oh yeah, you did my quiz and you got two results already.
Two results on the same day, right. I went back and see what they were. But yeah, like within hours, I had gone upstairs and it had refreshed. I'm like, oh, I'll do it again. And it was a totally different and just as earnestly done, you know, the test, so the quiz. So yeah, definitely.
Okay,
and
nice.
I'll have to look back now and see what it was. I know I talked to you about it maybe, and was it Twitter we were doing that on? Or is it?
Yeah, look that up for a second.
So I'm going to find it. I'll find it. You go ahead and I'll dig.
Yeah, halfway through the journey, it moves from the nurturer archetype to the lover. And this is a very big step because the nurturer, all of the archetypes at the beginning, the child, the rebel, the warrior, and the nurturer, it's all the relationship between you and the world as if you and the world are two separate things. And you're forever trying to balance, do I serve the world or do I serve myself? It right up until this precipice, it's an either or. But the moment you move into this second half of the journey with the lover archetype, then it becomes that is, first of all, that's resolved by having good boundaries. That's the really big key at that level, where you see that it's exactly what you said. By serving yourself, you become of the greatest service to others. And then you can go deeper and start taking your cues direct from your soul, God, your higher power, however you frame that. And it's an entirely new world where, you know, even if it's costing you lifelong relationships and your dignity and your family and those things that are actually really important. They cannot be overlooked. I know the pain of that really well. But nonetheless, you are more pulled, more driven by your soul's purpose than you are by anybody's approval of you. That people are ultimately willing to go to the desert. It's not to tell you that you're in the desert or that you have to go there, but they're willing to go there and stand by the truth. And stand by the beauty. And that's why I chose the song Where There's Beauty, to let that the beauty and the truth, which actually are the same thing, guide you and let everything else, you know, manage itself.
Well, it's interesting that you say that change happens, because I don't know if it's mostly due to the trauma truly that I went through there in Oregon with the experience. Now, while there were many gifts given during the hospice with my mom, it was probably one of the hardest things I've ever gone through. And my sister being in the hospitals as a respiratory therapist for years, had never seen a person fight as hard as my mom fought there at the end. The strength and this, the coming back and the rebounding and just all that. So wow. As I watched her go through some of the most horrible circumstances anyone could go through, and knowing, you know, the pain and the truly suffering she's going through. And then as soon as it's like a session of whatever vomiting or something is over, she's back laughing and smiling and loving. And it, you know, watching all that, watching her still able to give that love through all that pain. I have no patience for silly shit anymore. I have no patience for crap that doesn't mean anything. I have no patience for games or, you know, egos that are just not leading to a outcome of positivity anymore. I can't play the games that I was, you know, some of the times when we're doing things, as you said early on in the show, the community we're in, you know, the people that choose to make things difficult and instead of making it community, instead of making it all of us being together, you know, things are like playground antics, you know, shoving and pushing and, oh, I'm this and you're that. And it's just, I just don't have the patience for it anymore, you know, and personal things that I've encountered a couple of times since I've been back, I've definitely let that be known that, you know, I can understand so much of silly, trivial crap. Mm-hmm. So, serving myself, I guess, more now than I ever have. Whether mm-hmm. you know, whereas before I would let things just kind of go and let it just, you know, wash over me. I just can't do that as easily anymore, and especially out in the world, which I hadn't experienced because, unfortunately, there in Oregon, I was on lockdown with the family. So me going to a store and they're trying to, you know, guide me through these plastic strips of tape they've got through the. I'm like, do I look like a cow to you? I'm sorry. You know, I mm-hmm. walk through their crap. I'm just not playing the games. I have no patience for the games anymore. So mm-hmm. maybe I have crossed over to that next step. I still can't find the results. It must be on Skype. I can't find it on Twitter. So let me go dig in there too.
Okay. No worries. Yeah. No worries. It's, you know, it's not essential, but because we are really on all parts of the journey at the same time. So that might, you know, it might even be a time to do it. Steve just said, we're with you, brother. I pray that everybody, yeah, you're getting lots of support. Love you, Walt. No time to waste. Chester said, absolutely. I pray, love you, Walt, from Liz at the Iron Realm Maiden.
Love you, Liz.
You know, I pray everybody gets to the point. I'm very sorry for your pain and especially for your loss. I know how deep that cuts. But I do pray that everybody gets to this exact same place that you have reached, where you realize, you see what's real. And it's funny how I named this podcast just a little bit out of the blue last night, because it was late and we were you know, still connecting about mm-hmm. even the time.
I know.
And, but I was just reflecting on what you've been through recently, and it's, you know, come on, you guys, how hard do you want to get hit in the face? I know the people here, all you guys know. So don't let me not acknowledge that you do know, but I also pray that there are people out there brave enough to look into this and, you know, to see how hard do you want life to hit you in the face before you realize what matters? How many losses do you need to face? Go ahead.
And if you don't, I mean, it's going to keep hitting you. That's the thing. You know, yeah. you can ignore it. You can turn away from it. You can set it aside, but it's not going to stop. You know, I mean, yeah. it's going to keep hitting you in the face, like you say, until you either acknowledge it or deal with it or whatever. When things like this happen, you know, it's kind of like that. Either it defines you or it destroys you or you grow from it. And that's, you know, anything traumatic, not just a death of a person. That's the most important thing, but anything that happens to you. When I had the wreck, you know, I could have done any of those things. And so moving past that, starting Iron Realm out with these guys and beautiful lady and just letting, instead of letting that define you, I guess, because even that saying it defines you. So then from that point on, I don't know. I just think growing from any experience is the best choice. And it's hard to do. You know, it's really hard to do sometimes. I mean, I spent, it's like it's over. But, you know, the first few days was horrible. The week after was a little better. And it does get better as far as the sadness and the missing. But the contemplation, the thoughts of, like I said, the strength that I saw happen was like nothing I've ever seen. And it's really, I mean, it's one of those things where there's so much of it that you really had, I guess, to be in the middle of it to understand. And for me to explain it, it's just a lot of unnecessary personal stuff, maybe. I don't know how to even say that, but just with my knowledge of what it could have been, you know, that was also a part of the frustration, is knowing that no matter what I said, no matter what I sent, no matter what I showed them, guests that we've had that healed themselves, Adam healing people with this exact cancer, it was very frustrating that from the instant the diagnosis was there, I sent, you know, everything I could, information, get me a plane ticket, I'll be there and I'll help, you know. And it was like, well, she's already decided that she wants to do the chemo, and you know, and I talked to her about it, and I knew because she was in the hospital for 25-30 years working as a respiratory therapist, and all my family, you know, had all gone through the standard stereotypical hospital experience of every whatever, stroke, heart, anything. They all did like the doctor said. And I guess it wasn't until my generation, truly, you know, some of my other cousins do look at some of the alternative ideas about health and what's going on right now in the world. And so I guess our generation, it took this long for us to start looking at some of the ideas about health and food and, you know, medicine and what it's done to us. And so for me to then be the one crazy conspiracy wall with his crazy cannabis oil, you know, that kind of thing, it just felt frustrating that I couldn't, no matter what I said, no matter what I did, no matter what I sent, no matter who I presented to them, it just was not going to ever get through the programming. And that was very frustrating.
Yeah.
Very frustrating.
Yeah.
Even at the end, I went there with the intention of showing them that, you know, I will make this work. And I know even though it didn't heal her, it did make her last months there more pleasant because she did enjoy her cannabis when she was healthy enough to enjoy it. Okay. So that did, you know, give some peace and help with some of the symptoms, and thank goodness that I had a friend, Adam, who had already gone through it with a lot of people and could tell me the things that would be okay to do. And, you know, risking his own livelihood, truly. I mean, he's medically giving me advice to a patient who is at death's door. And so, you know, risking his life and livelihood for me. And I appreciate that, my friend. But definitely, just know that if you ever have a chance to do this experience with a family member and can keep them out of a hospital and keep them out of the machine that even while we were at home was doing its best to eat her up. I mean, the hospice people, you know, every time we would call them with an issue, their go-to was, you know, stronger drugs, more drugs.
And that's I know.
Oh, it's so frustrating when I know, let's try some, you know, food. Let's try some juicing. Let's try some healthy things instead of just pumping morphine. And it's very frustrating that even at home, away from the machine was still reaching out, trying to do its best to insert its will. It's very, I mean, it's just so insidiously part of everything. You cannot get away from it. We, you know, the nurses would come and they were lovely people. I'm not saying they're like evil people, but, you know, they're doing what they were taught and what they were, you know, shown to do. And so it definitely felt like certain medicines that we gave her made things go quicker than it should have. And that's very frustrating as well. When I knew that I had in my hand, literally things that would make it so much easier. And to fight the programming was just not something I could do. With all the love I fought it with, I couldn't beat the programming.
Wow. Amazing, too, that you sharing this with us is what the amazing part. It's so humbling what people are going through, what you're going through right now. I know firsthand that unfortunately, we got to that point where we were trying to be with my mom around the clock in her home. And yeah. I was with her the very last night. And, you know, I got about 2 hours of sleep. The sleep was almost impossible to have. And then all of a sudden, like crash, bang, boom, my mom had got up and ran to the bathroom when she's basically on death's door. And she should not have done that. But, you know, so she crashed and she fell and I'm alone with my mom and calling the ambulance and, you know, it's just, it's so, it's so almost outrageous in a way to have the calling for that. But when you think about it, I mean, it's just, this really is life. We're just so divorced from the process and trying to save everybody from.
I thought that through the whole thing. It's like how we have like lost so much in this world by removing ourselves from that experience.
I know.
My nephew. Sorry.
No, don't be sorry. Please.
My nephew was there. And when he would walk in the room, her face would just light. And I told him many times, hold on to that face. Don't ever let that look go because that'll get you through some rough times. And to know that you helped her through her rough time, that your love and your light that you brought to her every time you came in that room to see her, which was hard because he's only 11, going to be 12. And so for him to have to go through that, you know, unfortunately, his mother definitely overprotects him. So he's been sheltered from a lot of things. And I really didn't know whether she would let him be as involved in it as she was. But she did. And I was very glad she did. So it definitely is something, again, if you can ever experience this with a family member, I can't recommend it enough, without a doubt. It is something mm-hmm. you will benefit in every kind of way from.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Amazing. I talk about this a lot, that all of our human experiences, including the suffering, of course, is a door. And what the system does is come along and close this door and close this door and close this door by, you know, basically it's painkillers, right?
Exactly. It did. Right?
Every version of painkillers, you have like, you know, seven different buttons they can press. And then I saw, you know, like, and I'm so curious to see what would a natural death be like? What would it have been like? And you could never tell anyone to go through that pain. And God knows, maybe I'm the one crying for the morphine on my deathbed. I'm not saying that that's not,
right.
I've actually been in that place. I've been right there. So there's no judgment, but I know now, on this side of it, that if you can go through as you have gone through, you basically set yourself on fire with this experience. You're still on fire. You're still going through it. And I know from having been through it, that there's so much. It's not just freedom waiting for you. This is the freedom. This is the freedom. It's so transforming.
Steve just said it, by the way. Oh, I'm sorry. I have lost chat completely, y'all.
So have I. So I apologize, but I just noticed like Walt is speaking for thousands, if not millions, right? So this is the king hero. This is to have this voice, this very brave, courageous voice. Honestly, this is so precious.
Well, thank you guys for sure. And I promised her and myself that this wouldn't go to waste, and that definitely going forward, you know, there was no way I could ever be upset with trivialities, you know, or just the drudgery of life. Yeah, I mean, I'm not being realistic. Everybody gets upset, but just to let it, you know, we're all guilty of it. You know, you get put down, or you get in a bad place, or whatever it is, the energy of the plane is off, or whatever case it is, and you just get down and you're then reactive and everything is bad. No, it seems like the end of the world of every experience. Like I said, once I watched what I saw and the ability to just go through all that agony, pain, and suffering, tragically, and still that light would come over her face when my nephew would come in there, or when we would come in there, or when, you know, she would wake up and I'd be laying there holding her hand, or sitting there in the chair holding her hand next to her, and she'd know I was there the whole time. And just like I said, the gifts and the experience of it all, it makes all of the painful parts worth it, for sure.
Right. Yeah, there you go. You just answered my exact question. What makes it worth it?
Oh, certainly.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. That is the beauty, that it can be difficult to see that and to know it, that to go in the suffering is to receive the gift of it. And we're not just talking out our ass here or talking spiritual doublespeak. That's not what it's about. That when you go into the depths of it, again, extremely on theme with the lover archetype, who's, not afraid of the heavy human experience, because it's heavy and it's thick and it's deep and it's, almost infinitely complex. So there's lots of reason not to go into it and to stay in that surface place and just do, just flip. You never stop and read. You have fast food. You never have the full meal. Anyway, my metaphors are falling apart here, but we came here for the whole life. We came here to be whole, to have the experience of wholeness, not to be free from pain and happy all the time. It's the constant sine wave of life up and down. Remember, forget, as you were already saying, that now you're not going to have to suffer the small bullshit, because you know what's real, you know what matters. And there will still be, because it's the same thing that I face my death. I'm on my deathbed. I see what's real. I know I never again have to do anything to fulfill myself. And do I forget that on a daily basis? 100%. Every single day forget. So this is the game that we're remembering, we're forgetting, and this is the role we play in each other's lives. This is such a huge remembering that you're helping us all have right now. Well, it's just so much awareness. You cannot remember this enough.
It's definitely the journey of many layers. I mean, as you were saying about the sudden burst at the end when your mom ran for the bathroom, there were many times that she went from, like you said, just this frail, weak person to literally, let's get up and go. And that kept being a theme that came up, we need to go. And she knew we weren't going to a doctor or to a hospital or anything like that. That was all, well understood, but just this, energy out of nowhere. And it's like, where is this coming from? She hasn't eaten in days. She's, literally losing fluids from every orifice. And where is this coming from? Where does this energy of just strength of just being come from? And it's like, there's no doubt that we are simply driving this avatar from somewhere else, that soul that drives this is more powerful and can fill so many things, not just this tiny vessel. It's astounding to watch it, to be part of it, to feel that energy and to feel the absence of it. That part was truly, I had gone through many close, family members passing, but I had never felt the absence of someone that profoundly, that spoke to what a energy she was here, what she brought to this plane and what she, what was gone when she was gone. It definitely was no doubt when she left, we knew she was gone. There was a void that will never be filled, but we're filling it with this, with these memories and the love and the celebration of the life she brought here and showed to us, and that we hopefully can share it with you guys and with our loved ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The bravery that you have to allow that emptiness. I was having a moment with this last night. It's actually the next archetype on the journey is the hedonist. And that's the one that wrestles with emptiness and is afraid that there's really no purpose to life and that we're just here to satisfy ourselves and to, get as much pleasure, some whatever your pleasures are as you can, thinking that if you just keep eating, somehow, some way that's going to fill you. But it's quite the opposite. It's more what you've done, allowed yourself to lose at such a deep level, to be empty, to be to just allow that emptiness to be what it is. And then without that emptiness, without feeling the pain of that, there's no way to understand. It's the emptiness that teaches you about the fullness. I'm speaking cryptically here. I apologize.
I get it exactly what you mean.
Okay. Yeah, that's
to have mm-hmm. the. I mean, if we didn't have the dichotomies, if we didn't have it, we wouldn't know what the other ever was. I mean, it only makes sense that you have to have these experiences to know the other end of the spectrum. You know, mm-hmm. if it was all the same, it would get pretty boring pretty damn quick.
Yeah, that's it. We have no idea what a glory being alive actually is. It would just all be glory, and we'd be like, yeah, whatever. yeah, amazing. Wow. So powerful. I know many people are going to benefit from hearing this. Go ahead.
No, I was saying, well, I definitely hope so. And I definitely finally got back over to chat and trying to play catch up, and I never will. I'll go back through when the replay happens and see all the amazing chat. Love you guys. Thank you all. And a special shout out to you, Iron Scouts, there in chat. I see you all, and I love you all.
Absolutely. I'm the same. I'm going to go back and enjoy everything. And I'm catching little bits as we go too. Mm-hmm. So it's, you guys are amazing. It's a beautiful, beautiful life when you can stay present to this. You know, the willingness, Walt, that you have right now to share like this is the gift to other people, because I know there's somebody in particular in this chat that is facing this. So they're just at a different phase of where you're at, and watching you go through it, your bravery to show what you're going through is literally, we can learn from that. We don't have to make every single mistake on our own, or not, and then you're not reporting mistakes, but you know, we don't have to get caught up in all that little stuff necessarily. You can actually watch other people go through their journey, adjust. And I've been saying this over and over. It's just like, we all have our own life and our own experience. I never had brothers, for example. So I literally have to live vicariously through other people who have brothers. My son has no siblings. He has to live through other people to know what it's like to have siblings. They have to live through him to know what it's like to, you know, be the king of the castle and get everything that you want all the time, all that kind of stuff. So it's a beautiful opportunity when you start seeing and give yourself the chance to receive the transmission, is what you're doing right now, that giving us your blueprint of your energy, being authentic like this. This is what we, first of all, it's all we want out of life from ourselves, is to be as your being, right? We just want to be ourself. And it can be so far and few between the moments that are like that, where you have maybe your one best friend, where you don't have to censor yourself. You don't have to, you know, worry if you're going to offend them. But here is this whole beautiful community of, now I'll call you truthlings. I can't remember where I stole that word from. Somebody said it.
I love it.
And they love truth, and they love freedom more than they love to be right. Maybe ultimately, I know there's lots of infighting and stuff going on too. That's not to gloss over it. But I think at the end of the day, people come around to this place of just saying, yeah, I want my freedom more than I want to look good in this conversation. I actually want the facts. And when new facts come along that discount what I've already been saying, I'm willing to be egoless and look stupid. You know, David Avocado Wolf comes to mind. So he was on with a vengeance on the vegan raw food diet. And he published books, and he'd done a million live streams and articles and all that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden he wakes up and he realizes, oh, that's not a good diet for the long haul. That's good for cleansing, right? Cleansing season and spring and all that kind of stuff. But actually, you know, to have some local organic animal proteins in your diet is way healthier, like way healthier for him to say that. Now there's still a whole community of raw fooders and vegans that they're still making that bad experiment. Unfortunately, I've seen one friend of mine's body disappear over the years. It's been 20 years. I've seen his frame disappear on him, but he's still, because psychologically he's so into the religion of the vegan raw food diet. And he'll criticize David Avocado Wolf, who looks really healthy and robust to me, you know, and just seeing the difference. It's an act of bravery to, and it hasn't ever taken away. So if you need to change your mind and you're scared to say that, like it happened with me with the feminists, I still have 3,000 feminists in my zone, and I bet they're just looking at me for ways to, you know, see what they can gossip about next and their whatevers. And that's okay too. I don't mind being that. But at the end of the day, you want to be right with your own soul. And that's the gain. That's what I see you have gained in this.
It wasn't easy though. I mean, there was a lot of, because of the situation of them being in Oregon and me being here in Louisiana, that's only been the last, let me think, 2010? Yeah. Then when they went out there. Wow, 10 years. Jeez. Anyway, we had a very close family growing up. We all did. I mean, not just the immediate siblings and her, but my uncles and cousins, and we all would do the big family events and reunions. And over time, I guess, from probably mid 80s through the 90s, everybody's spread out. And my brother had been out in Oregon for almost 20 years, I guess, at this point, 23, something like that. Anyway, he's been out there a while. And then my sister and brother-in-law decided to go out there looking for different things in life, different economy, whatever. And my mom was living with them at that point. So she went out there. So because they've been out there for 10 years, it just was a lot of missed opportunities for me. It felt like I, you know, missed a lot of birthdays and a lot of Christmases and things. And so there was a lot of that I had to deal with for me, a lot of the guilt and a lot of the, I should have this and I wish I had that. And so I guess, again, it goes back to just that being gifted the opportunity to deal with those things with her, you know, rather than it being just a brief bedside visit at the hospital, you know, and not really much getting accomplished. To be able to be involved in these last few months with the discussions we got to have and the, just getting it all out that needed to be gotten out. And I've said this, and I'm not the first to say it, and I know everybody's heard it a million times. The people you love are not going to be here forever. And it can be like this, extensive sicknesses. I've been out there many times to help her through health issues, healed her numerous times. Couldn't do it this time, but I had done it many times. Got her seriously at death's door and got her away from there. And so for the 100 millionth time, listen to this. That person that you have the beef with, or that person that, you know, didn't quite agree with your philosophies or your choices or what the hell ever, get over yourself and go and hug and forgive and let that shit go, because it's important to make that reconnection. And even though my mom and I didn't have a problematic relationship, me not being there as often as I could have been over the 10 years due to my life and my personal choices, it was difficult. And so let those things go and make sure that while they're here and you still have that chance, that you do those things that you didn't do or haven't done yet. And again, everybody says this and everybody tells everybody this, but it's hard to, I guess, get it across in a way that makes sense or that resonates. But just like I said, the forgivenesses that you need to let happen, work on that hard and don't let the opportunity go. And it could be somebody walking out the door to go to the store and you never see them again. It could be that simple. So don't think just, oh, my aunt who's passing on, or my grandmother or whatever, the person who's just in your face daily, you know, don't let the opportunities go, because it can happen in a heartbeat, truly. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, it's so wise to know that, how temporary everything actually is. And yeah, I guess I talked about it a little bit yesterday somewhere. I can't remember where I talked about it, but you know, with my dad passing, you do have this strange illusion that you're going to be able to say everything you need to say on their deathbed. There's like, I was actually shocked that I held that unconscious belief. And right, why would I even think that? But it turned out to be totally wrong. My dad lost his mind immediately. So he was alive in his body for 3 weeks when we knew he was passing, but there was no lucid conversation going to go on there. So every single thing that I would have wanted to say to him, I tried to say some things, but they, you know, didn't appear to reach him. There might be, I think it does transcend also. I'm a big believer in being able to actually communicate with somebody's spirit. And I don't mean in a medium way or a channeling way, just literally the conversation. I've done this all my life. I've talked to people, whether they're in the flesh or not, I talk to them. And sometimes, even just as a quick tip, that sometimes when you can't have that breakthrough with that person in the flesh, you can't come to a meeting of minds or mutual respect or anything like that, have a conversation with their spirit.
Energy does speak to energy. Definitely.
That's it. Beautifully
said. And there were definite times when through the breakdown of her system and just as toxins built up in her brain and things like that, we knew that cognizance was going. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly, again, the strength of will, the strength of spirit, I guess, there would be just perfect clarity for just enough time to get things said and get that hug and that recognition and know that she was fine for that few hours. And then just, again, like you said, just be aware that you don't have that guarantee of that final wrap up. You just never know how it's mm-hmm. going to happen. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why
you can certainly.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I have felt so much of my life and work to be urgent. It always feels like it has to happen now. I had a client this morning say, you know, I've just been in for observing you. I think maybe he's even here, you know, saying that I'm, can't remember the words he used, but ambitious or something like that. And it's, you know, it's true. And it just, there's always a fire under my butt when I wake up, and people are can even get intimidated by that there's, you know, maybe so much content coming and everything, it even overwhelms them just to observe it. But it's not coming from anywhere other than just knowing that, hey, my life almost ended. This is all grace. And if I have another day to listen to God when he's telling me what to do, then that just seems like, yeah, do it now. Just do it. And even then I feel so slow. I bet you can relate to that. And anybody that's on a mission, it just seems, because if things could go as fast as they're happening in my mind, you know, ding, 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 right. They're just like, right. But we're dealing with this live time. It feels like,
unfortunately, we have to unreel these minutes as they go. So mm-hmm. I do think, though, that's part of this 3D reality experience, whatever it is we're doing here, that, you know, if we didn't have the time sequence, getting this all screwed up. But yeah, the cause and effect, the time,
that linear time,
yeah,
thing.
I think we talked about that actually with Mom, that, you know, that I don't think time is the same wherever she was going, that she would see us like that. In her experience of it, that it wouldn't be as long for her to see us again as it will be for us to see her again, if that makes any sense.
Nice. Beautiful. That's awesome. Yeah. Steve said our time is our greatest commodity. Exactly. That's the thing that you cannot get back. So, yeah. Yeah, it's Sandra said people get intimidated by the fire under my butt too, but it's par for the course. It just is. There was a good meme going around saying that, you know, because people will actually tell me that sometimes. They'll say, Beth, you're intimidating. And it's like, you know, little tweak, you're intimidated.
That's it.
Could you own that? Because I'm not here to intimidate you.
I'm not here doing for this. Your reactions, right?
Yeah, that's not why I'm doing this. And you know, it's good because people are afraid. It's, I think especially women, this is more so a woman's problem, but they're afraid to look as great as they are because it's going to make everybody feel bad and they're going to see, oh, I'm not as fiery as she is, or I don't produce as much, or all that kind of stuff. And for me personally, when I have people like that in my life, I use it as a way to like, oh, okay, look, I can see a bit of jealousy that so-and-so has gone and done this. Well, I'm going to use that as a way to say, oh, well, I can do something like that. Right. I'm going to use it to raise up. I'm not going to use it to cut them down or feel bad about them. It's a real thing. You know, it's fascinating, the jealousy. And I'm watching another drama go in my mind with I'm in competition with somebody in my own mind. We don't even talk. I don't know why I even picked that person to be in competition with. I laugh when I see those thoughts come up, and they're like way ahead of me. They're way out. I, even to pick them to be in competition with, I'm like, I don't even stand a chance. But there's something in there, but we can always use it as a way to either propel forward and give more of ourselves, or to just, you know, get stuck in our own emotions. So I'd love to jump over and ask your opinion. I'd like to ask all the King Heroes just about the whole masculine feminine thing, the way that that's playing out on Earth right now. I kind of am predicting that one of the big psyops that's going to come out in the next little while, because we're getting almost one a day now, is going to be some new escalation of the gender war. How do you see that happening on Earth right now?
I've had an interesting experience, I guess, through life with that very question, because living through the times I've lived through, and I guess in the South, here, there's a lot of masculinity that's presented as, you know, sports and hunting and fishing and drinking beer and all this stuff. And so, you know, I got here not interested in any of that shit. And even as a young kid with friends, I didn't care about, you know, football crap, and it just wasn't my thing. And so because of that, my dad and I, that was some of our early, you know, here's a baseball glove and, you know, where's like a guitar? That's what I'm looking for, that kind of thing. So there was always that in with him, definitely the expectation of stereotypically, you know, that expectation. So I didn't follow it at all. Mm-hmm. And with even like going through school, the choices of, you know, really going into like loving the sciences, the music side of things, just not being into the things that seem to signal masculinity. Mm-hmm. Well, that all, as you say, and are starting to talk about quite often here, is it's been part of the agenda. It's been part of the keeping us separate in a way. Inherently, male and female are different. Inherently, we have different strengths. I saw strength from my mother. I could never reproduce physically or emotionally or spiritually. I doubt ever. Was that inherent because she had the nurturing feminine energy that I don't have? Possibly. Growing up with them, my mom and dad divorced when I was, I guess, nine years old. So growing up, I lived with my mother and had more of her as a role model. But even pre-8, those early years, I was still not driven to be the stereotypical guy. Mm-hmm. Now, was that all part of the whole programming that was being presented at the time. You know, the whole men getting in touch with their feminine side, being more emotional, the poets and the John Denver music and, you know, Kenny Loggins and that kind of thing. The soft side of men. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Grew up on that, exactly.
And being a musician and being into music, that spoke to me greatly. And so it became, I guess, part of my persona, you know, trying not to be. Then it became a thing, like especially in school, of then pushing away that whole stereotypical guy thing, you know, not wanting to be the asshole jerk guy that somehow always wound up with all the girls. You know, that was always the dichotomy of it. You know, I was the shoulder to cry on and the assholes wound up with the ladies. But whatever, I guess, again, the whole scripts that we get played with. And, of course, the movies and the television that we all grew up with. You know, that seemed to play that whole thing up. And now here we are. Boom. Toxic male. Evil men. We're the problem. We're the issue. But I don't know. I've seen some crazy, crazy Karens out there running amok, triggered out of their head, that are way more insane and psychotic than any male toxic masculinity I've ever been part of. So I don't know. It's really hard to say. When you look at the fact that part of the ingredients that we were all injected with as infants were hormones of the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. That's also quite telling, I think, when you start playing around with the actual makeup of the body and what it produces. And that also is tied into the emotions, and which are keyed into the spirit. So they've been playing us for a long damn time. They have been playing us for a long time. Now, where it's all going to end with all this current mess, I don't doubt that that's probably going to be. Yeah, that would be a hellacious way to end this all up if they turned us all against each other, male and female. Because, I mean, I don't know where I'd be without my significant other in there. I don't know where I'd have been without my mother. So, yeah, for us to actually have that be the end game, I don't doubt it. That would be pretty evil on their part and right up their alley. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Is there anything that you would like to share? We've got about 10 more minutes here on my watch. Unfortunately, I've got a thing that I need to
I'm here. When, as long as you're here, I'm here.
And right on. Right
same
on.
Same thing over on our show. You know, you're welcome. The door is open. You've been told that. Once you're there, your family and family. Nice. And you're welcome. Likewise. Anytime.
Likewise.
Other than just thanking everybody for everything, truly, the journey has been amazing, difficult, joyous. And when I say the journey, I mean here with you guys, learning to know that, you know, I'm not alone in these crazy ideas and thoughts, that not only am I not alone in them, but there's a whole lot of you people out there who are not just looking into the other, but embracing it, nurturing it, loving it, changing the face of the plane with it. So that has been a strength for me, truly. It has been a difficult time. We've all had our fallings out. We've had friends that have gone by the wayside. Even within the realm, the Iron Realm, we've had, you know, friends that have come and gone. We've had issues amongst ourselves. We're family. I mean, that's what family does. We fight. Hell, me and my brother fought during the months I was there helping mom. You know, it's just what you do when you love that strongly. You feel that strongly. Then the emotions can come out in all kind of ways. Mm-hmm. We all have so many facets of truth and love and humanity to bring to this thing. And if you don't like somebody's channel, turn the channel. If you don't like somebody's content, don't watch it. But don't be that stirrer of crap. Don't be the one who causes the extra drama just for drama's sake. And if that is your energy, I know it's tough. There are, unfortunately, people who thrive off of drama. I know many of them. It's difficult when it's so easy to get it going here amongst all these channels we all have. So just I love you guys and I thank you all. TFR, that whole community that we've come to know and love in our time over there, love you all so much. Twitter people that are here with us, I love you all so much. Thank you all. If it hadn't been for all of you people that I have met and come to know and love here, then it definitely would have been a really different journey. And who knows how it would have come to this point. Who knows where we'd all be. Maybe we'd all be willingly, you know, having our masks and our time at home and not even worrying about it. So I think that we have a lot to surprise them with in this coming end move that they're trying to make. So definitely thank you all for helping make that a little easier, because man, facing all this craziness that we're facing alone would be really rough. So just don't forget that, you know, it's important to not let the fear take the wheel. And it's so easy when it's driven at us in every venue, every aspect, TV, radio, internet. Just remember, love can do it. We can. We really can. So thank y'all. I love y'all.
Mm-hmm. So beautiful.
Thank you, Beth. Thank you for your channel and thank you for your content. Thank you for inviting me here. It's been great. Thank you so much.
Total pleasure. And yeah, I hope we can have many more conversations. Red Fox just said gratitude is fearless. And I totally love that. Yeah. How beautiful. Getting lots of good comments and feedback here.
You have a great group. I've been trying to go back through and catch up on the chat. Man, you have some amazing people here. When I do come and hang out with you here on the show, when I can see it live, I see you guys come hang out with us on a Friday afternoon over there on Iron Real Media, man. We'd love to have y'all.
Yes, please. Can you tell them how to reach you over there?
It's just Iron Realm Media. We're there Friday, roughly about 5-ish.
Yeah.
5:30-ish Central. So
that on YouTube, is always
subject to change. And that's on YouTube. And on Twitter, you can find, like, we have an Iron Realm Media account, but I'm Facebone 777 Josh, who's like the main host man. He's Josh Corey 777 on Twitter. I'm probably going to screw all the Twitter stuff up. Just go find Iron Realm Media and you will find the rest.
777, right?
That's it. Facebones 777. I used to be a huge fan of a show that's really horrible, horrible show now. God, I can't believe I used to love that show so much. But being a guitar player, there's a gentleman named Brendan Small, who not only is a phenomenal guitarist, but he also does animation. And one of the shows he did, one of the characters was named Facebones. And so that's where that came from.
There you go. I almost got your name right there. Alrighty. Yep. So definitely go and knock on Walt's door on Twitter at Facebones. There we go.
That is me.
There you go.
And then we do Ironworks on Tuesday morning and Friday morning on TFR. It's okay. Early. 4 a.m. here.
Right. I've been on that show. Yeah.
She's up here for me. And then lots of archived stuff there. And man, lots of archived stuff on our YouTube channel. There's actually a Have No Sphere podcast channel as well that may have some of the early stuff we did when we were trying to figure this whole thing out. So if you want some of the early days when we were totally clueless, less clueless than we are now, or more clueless than we are now, I don't know. Early stuff out. I think that's the right name anyway, but yeah.
I love that title, Have No Sphere.
I wish I could take the credit. A buddy of ours, man, there's some history there. Ben, shout out to Ben Long, one of our early members who's no longer with us. But yeah, when that name went through, it was all like, woo, yes, that's the name. We love it.
Nice. Yeah, I'm gearing up to, for those of you that already follow Walt on Twitter, you'll see that his name contains Flat Earth Head IRM is the title of it.
Which I never have understood why they give you an at, but then let you put all this other stuff. So it's just totally confusing. But yeah, once the Flat Earth Head, that's my YouTube channel personally. That's where I started with my early days of going, okay, I can't just watch this video and listen to this person because then I'd just be doing what I did with NASA. Let me go out to the beach and set up a camera and do a time lapse of the sun and see what I find out. And stunningly enough, it did go away and around and to the right and get smaller. And the second video I did that as well. And in that video, I caught all kind of things that I could go on Google Maps and see were 20 miles and 40 miles away. And I'm seeing them just fine. And so at that point, I pretty much knew that it may not be a disk in space or whatever kind of crazy stuff people were putting out at that point, but it definitely don't seem to be a damn flat, a spinning space bear anymore either. And that's where I started with my little experiments, if you will, doing some cheap drone early footage, just trying to see what I could see when I was by myself figuring this all out before I found the amazing team that we all have together here at Iron Rim Media. So there's probably 2 years worth of stuff that I was actually doing on there. And then it just kind of got so much with Iron Rim Media. I don't think I put up a new video on my channel in forever. Probably when we did the stickers for the bus in the UK. I think I did a promo video for that maybe on my channel. I don't know. Go check it out. Flat Earth Ed.
Very good. Very good. I just want to acknowledge Sue and Pyroxidin Oxide and Alan Holman and Liz, the Iron Realm Media, Channel News, Tommy Tell the Truth, Nemo298V, Dixie's here, McBo, Red Fox. So many beautiful people. I love you guys so much. Vonich is not here. He's officially said he's not here. So that's good. Good to know. Karen Ashton. So many beauties. So many beauties. Love you guys a lot. It's great.
Yeah, great to see you. I told him I love him.
Right on. Right on. Eric is such a constant. I love that. So I want to let you guys know a couple of things that tomorrow, if you're coming on with me at, I believe it's 2 p.m. Central Time for Jerry Marcinski, we're going to talk about demons. A very big subject. I'm actually super interested in. It's fascinating. His work is extremely brave. He's come through incredible trials and tribulations in his life. And I can't wait to hear his King Heroes journey story. That's going to be tomorrow. And then Friday also, we're getting together for my Journey Plus Freedom, which is connected with my book. I would love to invite you as an honorary guest on Friday, if you happen to be free. I'm not sure what the time is like for you, but it's at noon Central Time, and we're getting together to discuss the lover archetype, the drive for truth and beauty, and to put this out. I think it's just so perfect for this community because that is the highest value that everybody holds here, and so you are welcome.
I appreciate the invite.
It'll yeah, be tough
because I do the 4 a.m. and then we do the 4 after. 5 p.m. So I'd have to slip you in the middle there. I think I can do it. I'll just have no nap. I'll do it with lots of coffee.
There you go. Okay. We're going to get Walt all jacked up on caffeine. Perfect. That's awesome. And it is a discussion. It's a beautiful conversation. It's not me trying to fix anybody or coach anyone or anything like that. Dixie said she'll be there. Excellent.
Oh, wait, said tomorrow. Wait, it's not.
No, it's Friday. Yeah. Jerry is tomorrow. Jerry's tomorrow. Too much.
Jerry's
tomorrow.
I'm excited about Jerry because I'm a little experience with demons myself. So when you said that earlier, it was like, oh, let's not get off on that because we'll derail the whole show if we start talking demons. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, so many good conversations to have. I definitely want to actually have you on a panel of, I'm going to handpick a few people I've got in mind already to do to flat smack my community because that hasn't happened yet. I'm going to come out of the closet on this one. And, I can't say anything about it because I only am using my intuition to know, and I don't have the facts yet. And I can, you know, so that's why I'm going to do this so that I can get it directly. I get a transmission. Cammy's been great for that. Follow Cammy's work, by the way. She's got some incredible Cammy Nodal, especially the last few days, a couple of very juicy videos coming out on her channel. Aisling 717. Did I get that right?
That is correct. You did get that. Now spelling it, I'll give that to you, but I think it's
A-I-S-L-I-N-G. I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right. And so yes, if you'd like to be part of the group on Friday, and you have to order my book to do that, by the way, unless you put your hand in, just tell me like the $5 PDF is too expensive for you, or you can order a hard copy, which comes immediately with the $5 PDF so that you can look into it immediately. You don't have to know the work. You just have to be a human that loves the truth And yeah, so that was good times for all. Thank you very much for flat smacking.
There we go. He got it.
Yeah, we got it. And Karen B, she's on my list. Exactly. Israel, nice to see you. Karen B is on the list. Walt is on the list. I always forget his name, but anyway, he's on the list. So thank you so much for joining me. I've got to run now, but love you guys so much. Yeah, Walt, man, this has been very beautiful and powerful at the same time. The willingness to show your spirit like that, it is a huge, huge service.
Thank you for giving me the platform and the opportunity to do that. I'm definitely here wherever you saw, all the places you saw. Anybody wants to come hang out, let us know. We're always open. We're not some channel that just only has the, you know, luminaries of flat earth, if you will. We just like to talk to people and get to know people. We're all about humans. That's what we like. So get with us.
Nice. So good. Love for humanity. So on that note, I'm going to close with the same song that I opened for anyone that might miss that. Great. I'm very glad it's that theme of, you know, no matter how ugly and crazy and weird things get, you actually can find beauty, not just amidst, it's not just rose colored glasses, like pretending the shit's not there. It's like, no, go into the shit and find the beauty, go into it. And that's where you're going to find yourself as well. All right. So let me see how this goes. If I just hit the refreshing button. All right, everybody. Love you guys so much. Have a great rest of your day. And we shall see you tomorrow. Pass. Bye for now.
No need to hang around. Past the point of beauty. Truth not lost or found. Where there's beauty, find me. Where there's beauty, walk with me. Where there's beauty, take me. 'Cause I cannot get there on my own. Acid rain on my guitar. I'm glad it's all coming down to this story in this town, in my sky high tree house, where there's beauty, find me. Where there's beauty, walk with me. Where there's beauty, hold me. 'Cause I cannot hold me on my own. There's no sense hovering in suspense, in the future or the past tense. It will all go tumbling over like rocks in a riverbed dance. Where there's beauty, find me. Where there's beauty, walk with me. Where there's beauty, hold me still, 'cause I